Welcome to Now Church. For the latest updates, visit us at nowchurch.com, including live or on-demand video, online giving, and much more. And don't forget to follow Now Church on our social media platforms, including Facebook and Instagram. And please use the hashtag NowChurch. Thank you, and enjoy today's service.
I'm going to finish the series today. If you weren't here last week, you can check it out on our Now Facebook page, on YouTube, whatever. But the overarching theme was basically that there's a war and there's a battle for the amount and the level of worship that you will give. That's the overarching theme. And as we jump into this message today, I'm going to finish this series called An Enemy Called Average. And I'm excited because I really believe, like, here's the thing. So first of all, if you've never heard me preach, I said this before, but you just got to ride with me, okay? Like, I need you to respond and look and back and forth and the whole thing. I said this last week, this is another one of PL's quotes, but I don't need you looking at me, looking at you, looking at me, looking at you. We need to engage. How many of you know worship is about engaging? The word is about engaging. Somebody say, very good. That's what you do. So I also believe that, like, I love the Bible because it's real. Right? It's like real people, real circumstances. It's not just some history book that they threw some stuff together. No, these are real life circumstances, stuff that actually really, genuinely, legitimately happened. And the other part is, you know, I don't know, just kind of the way God's made me. Like, when I read the Bible, like, I see it. I see it in high def, 3D, 4D, whatever the latest D is. I mean, I see it bright, I see it loud, I see it full on. It's real stuff, it's real people, real circumstances. And the reason why to me that's important is because it doesn't just put it, it's not an us and them thing. It's like you can find yourself right in the middle of the word. And you can also find the answers that you need for the troubles, the problems, the questions that you have in your life. So this is not a small thing. As we jump in today, we're talking about an enemy called average. And I will say this, that average, if you think about it, is really, it's kind of the condition of our everyday lives. Now, let me explain that. If you think about the word average, by definition, the word average means typical, common, ordinary, routine. Typical, common, ordinary, routine. How many of you know that probably the bulk of your life, if we're honest, is going to be lived in average situations? It's like, it's a typical common routine that you get up every day and you brush your teeth. Amen. Amen. And if you didn't, say that straight ahead. Don't amen to somebody next to you. It's typical. It's common. You go to the grocery store. You pay your bills. We, for the love of God, pay our taxes, Jesus. April 15th coming up. We do the stuff that's our everyday activities. It's part of life. We don't get a reward for washing our dishes or doing laundry or the basic stuff. It's an average, everyday routine that we have to find ourselves in. And I want to set this up by saying this first. I don't want you to despise average. Why? Because there is power, people, in just showing up sometimes. Can I say that to you? Like, there really is a power sometimes in just not quitting. Sometimes in just being consistent, being faithful. There, you don't have to shake the moon and the stars and the earth. Sometimes it's just, hey man, just show up. Just be there when you say you're going to be there. Just be consistent, be faithful. So I don't want you to ever despise this thing called average. I love the season that we're in as a church. I said this before. But I love this season because now you can't talk me out of what I know works. We've been in it 30-something years. You can't tell me that what God has done in us and through us, are we perfect? No. Do we have stuff that we're learning and growing in? Absolutely. But I believe that what we've been walking through, some of it is just, hey, just show up. Just stay the course. Just continue to love your spouses. Just continue to sow your seeds into the house of God. Hey, just make it a priority as a part of your life. We've seen it work, so I don't want you to despise average. But here's the thing. The enemy of your soul wants you to get locked in a place where you think that average is all that there is. And I'm here to tell you that we have a supernatural God. We've got a big God that has the way and the power to move in your absolute, everyday, ordinary circumstances and bring the supernatural to that moment. And here's the thing. You know why I got off the script today? We were supposed to do a whole other song. We're going to be teaching y'all a song called Nobody. It's an Easter song that I wanted to get set up. But I realized that if I went into that song today, I'd have to be thinking and I'd have got chords and all this stuff. And I said, hey, let's get off script a little bit today so we can sing about the power of God and the presence of God being in this place. You know why? Because I believe that we serve a God who moves in suddenly moments. Somebody say suddenly moments. Say it again. Suddenly moments. That God, in the middle of your ordinary, in the middle of your average, in the middle of you just doing what you do every single day of the week, the stuff that keeps your life going, taking care of your kids, running them around, like I said, paying your bills, doing all the basic stuff, I believe that God delights in coming in suddenly moments in the middle of your average. And shaking your world. And we can't leave. It's impossible for us to box in the Lord of glory, the God of the universe. How dare we decide that everything we have right now is all that we're ever going to get? Do you know if that locks people in? That shuts people down where they think, and you get into the routine, the rut, and the ritual, and you feel like there's literally nothing else for me, and we forget about the power of an almighty God, that he can do anything. I'm not enough. Unless you come, will you meet me here again? But not for a minute was I forsaken, because the Lord is in this place. His Spirit's in this place. His power's in this place. His power's in the moments that we are postured to believe that he can do something supernatural. I say that because I realized a couple weeks ago, I've had a lot of people, and I love this about where we are as a church. We got a lot of new people, some of you first-timers, some of you have only been here a short time. And I had about three people in the last 2 months ask me about this ring that I wear. And I realized, oh, there are so many of these people that do not know the story of why I'm wearing this big old gaudy ring. It's not exactly inconspicuous, is it? And so 2 weeks ago when Pastor Jared Klingmeyer was here, Pastor Richard started to go into the story, and I just kind of downplayed. I'm like, ah, that was 100 years ago, da-da-da, it doesn't really matter. I started realizing, wait a minute, every time I put this ring on, I remember that God did the miraculous in this average ordinary. I remember that there was a suddenly moment that God took a little kid from Sioux City, Iowa that nobody knew about, then brought him into awesome Ocala, Florida, right here in the middle of the state, and he allowed me to experience some miraculous moments that I never want to downplay. Some of you don't know that. You don't realize that the story behind the way that God opened this thing up, it was crazy. It was literally me one Sunday morning. I'm going to show you a video in a second here. But it was one Sunday morning. I was just here. I was doing worship like we do. I had been on the road with the Florida Gators. If those of you don't know, I was the team chaplain for the Florida Gators when the Gators were good. When we used to win football games. When it was like must-see TV, right? Everybody had to watch it and see it. And so, I mean, it was crazy, y'all. How many of you have never heard this story before? Whole batch of you. Oh, wow, that's crazy. But God somehow opened up this door, and I ended up being in circumstances that I never dreamed in a million years I'd be in. So I became the team chaplain for them. I traveled with the Florida Gators every week for almost 3.5 years, from the middle of 2007 all the way to 2010. I would be here on Sunday mornings doing what we do, dancing, shouting, sweating, doing my thing. I would get on in a car with Ricky. We'd drive up to Gainesville. I would do a chapel that afternoon. I come back home. Tuesday, I go back up there for team dinners. Thursday, I went back up there. Friday, I would get on an airplane with them if we were going to Alabama or Arkansas or wherever we were going. I was on their team plane. I was with them in the meetings. I was just around them. On Saturday, if you would look at the games, most of our church would have Gator watching parties. and they would be looking to see if they could spot PL on the sideline, because I was usually about 3 or 4 feet away from coach. And so I did that for almost 3.5 years, and God did the miraculous in my average. Then one Sunday, we had just won the national championship. I was down in Miami, had to drive back from Miami. This was a Sunday morning. We were just doing what we normally do, and this happened. Play the video for me if you would, because some of them have never seen this before. Sunday morning, 2008.
We'd like to thank y'all for some support all year. We had a great season this year, obviously, but we couldn't have did it without our team chaplain, Pastor Lindsay. Come on up here.
He said chaplain. He don't know how to say chaplain. Team chaplain.
Song too. He gonna sing for everybody. I promise you, he gonna make you cry. We sing this one song on every chaplain that we meet, and he gonna sing it for y'all today.
Who else puffing?
You gotta sing.
Come on, man. You got an audience on you. I see
Matt. I'm looking over at coach like, am I supposed to do this?
All right. This kind of became the team song. It's one of those things. It's the very first song I sang in one of our chapels. Just got done with 2 services, so I'm going to give it like 30 seconds of it. Oh, here I am, humbled by your majesty. I'm covered by your grace, so free. And here I stand, knowing I'm a sinful man, but I'm covered by the blood of the Lamb, and now I found the greatest love of all is mine, since you laid down your life, the greatest sacrifice. Let me hear you, fellas. Singing, majesty. Singing, majesty. Your grace has found me just as I am. I'm empty-handed, but alive in your
So, you can shut it off. So I didn't know. I'd be leaving this room, walking into a stadium where there was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 40,000 plus people. What you don't know is I never knew they were going to call me up there. I got to the stadium. I'm thinking we're just going to celebrate with the team and enjoy the moment. And I hear this dude on the mic say, and we're going to have Pastor Lindsay, our team chaplain, he didn't know how to say chaplain. Our team chaplain is going to come up here and sing you a song. And it might make you cry. It's going to make you cry. And I said to the person next to me, did he just say, Pastor Lindsay? I didn't know. I did not know. So if you heard me say, my voice started cracking a little bit because I had just done 2 services like we do here. I was going through the ordinary stuff. And God said, I'm going to take my supernatural and breathe into your natural. Now, am I here saying that all of you are going to get a chance to sing in the stadium with the Florida Gators? Probably not. Very unlikely. But I am saying that in your everyday, ordinary moments, when you're in the car line and you're picking up your kids, when you're in the grocery store or you're on your job or you're in your cubicle or you're doing whatever it is that you do, I'm telling you, God wants you to posture yourself to believe that the supernatural can happen through you. There's a great story, gosh, that I've only got 20 minutes to tell. It's in John chapter 1. And it says here, in John chapter 1, it's very important that you understand the overarching theme of the book of John. And John chapter 1, verse 16 says, and the cool part about this verse, by the way, is it's nestled right in between a whole bunch of other stuff. The beginning of John talks about, you know, without him, nothing was made that was made. It goes in and talks about the power of Jesus. And then it's just like this little verse that's just kind of dabbled in there that it's very easy to miss. But in John chapter 16, chapter 1, verse 16, it says, we all, somebody say all. We all live off his generous abundance. Gift after gift after gift after gift. The New International Version says it this way. New International says, out of his fullness, say fullness. And out of his fullness, we all, say all. I'm doing that on purpose because that means it's you. Not just me, not the preacher guys, not the dudes who are here with the microphone. It's we all have the opportunity to receive the grace in place of grace or on top of grace that was already given. Let me break this down for you. That word fullness, in the interest of time, that word fullness is the word, in the Hebrew, it's the word pleroma, pleroma. And that word fullness means this, full measure, that which has been completed, nothing lacking. Full measure, that which has been completed, nothing lacking. What that verse is saying to me is that as a believer, the Bible says that we all have been given this grace, this fullness, this full measure. That means that there's nothing lacking in any area of your life. How many of you know that there are people, including myself, where there are places where there are things that are lacking? And the Bible says that the fullness of God's promise to us is that we can have victory in those spaces. In other words, we don't have to just live with this average, this is the way it's going to be, this is the way it's always been, and this is the way I can't see it changing. I'm telling you by the Spirit of God, I know that I know that I know. When I walk into rooms like this, I know that there are so many people that get to the place where you literally have been in a circle or a cycle of life that you are so wore out that you just stop believing. You just stop hoping. You stop expecting that God can do the impossible and the miraculous. But the Bible says here that all of us have access to the fullness of his grace that was given. And then the verse said he gives it generously. He gives it abundantly to you. He gives it lavishly to you. In other words, the spaces and the places where you feel like I am stuck. And I know it. I've never been in a room where I haven't found somebody. That's why I'm going to pray for y'all in a little bit. Because I know that I know that there are times where you go through seasons and you feel like there's no way out of this moment. And this Bible verse here is so powerful because he says right in the middle of your ordinary mundane, the miraculous can occur. Somebody say amen to that. Oh, I want to stir your faith. I want to stir your faith. So we got to go to the story. I told you last week that I would pick up in John chapter 4. This is where we're going to land today. John chapter 4, verse 3 in the New King James Version says this. This is the story of Jesus and the Samaritan woman at the well. Verse 3, it says, hey, can I teach the Bible for a little bit? Yeah. All right, stay with me. 15 minutes. It says, he, Jesus, left Judea and departed into Galilee. But he needed to go through Samaria. He needed to go through Samaria. Just give me your eyeballs for a second. Why did he need to go through Samaria? Well, because in verse 25, you're going to find out that there was a Samaritan woman that had had her faith so set that she believed that there was a Messiah coming. She, in verse 25, it says to you that this Samaritan woman had believed that there was a Messiah coming. She didn't know who he was, what he looked like, what he would bring. In other words, in this passage, when it says Jesus needed to go through Samaria, there were other routes that he could have taken. There were other places that he could have gone to get to that spot. But he went through this space, I believe, because Jesus was responding to a woman's faith. I'm going to say it again. I believe that God responds to our faith, not just our needs. I believe that when you posture yourself, this is not a get-rich-quick scheme. This is not a I can maneuver or manipulate the hand of God. But I believe that when God's people come together and you posture yourself in faith, that God shows up. He can't go around now, church, when we're postured saying, hey, meet me here again, God. You get that? He's not going to bypass this building when we're standing here desperate for his presence. He's not going to bypass Norman being able to come in this room and worship God when he just lost his mom yesterday. He's not going to bypass people who are hungry and desperate to come into where he is and saying, God, please, just meet me here. Meet me here. Why am I so passionate about it? Because I know that where God is, the miraculous is not far behind. I believe that. And so this woman, the Bible says in verse 3, he left Judea, he departed to Galilee, but he had to go. He needed to go through Samaria. Verse 5, it says, so he came to the city of Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, check this out. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, he sat down to get a drink in the middle of the afternoon, is what that says. Now here's the thing. That I love this part of the scripture because Jesus was fully God, 100% God, but he was also 100% man. He was tired, y'all. It was hot. Have you ever been to Israel? We were there. I was Israel. What was it? What year were we there? 2017. We took a team of the church to Israel. It was one of the most dynamic trips I've ever taken. I've been to 40-something countries. It was one of my favorite trips because it was like when you read the Bible, you hear Samaria and Judea and Bethlehem and all the stuff. And then like you drive down the street and the street sign says Bethlehem, Judea, Samaria. There's a place that said home of Jesus, the home of Philip, the people. I didn't really know who it was. Home of people. I got to slow down because I get too excited about this stuff. So Jesus was normal. He was just walking. He was just being a regular person in his everyday, ordinary life. The Bible tells us, if you look at it historically, there was a guy named, some of you might know this, kind of an off-ramp, but there's a guy named Arthur Blessed. And years ago, he carried this big cross around the world, and he was dragging it around. I mean, he went tens of thousands of miles. And they equated that probably estimated in Jesus's 3-year public ministry that Jesus walked over 3,200 miles. They estimated that when Jesus was going from one village to another, from place to place, that he was walking. He was walking. How many of you know walking is mundane? It's ordinary. It's regular. How many of you know he didn't have iTunes or Spotify? Or Nintendo Wii, or whatever the other things are. He had no technology. He had nobody playing songs in his ears. Jesus was walking. He's doing what regular people do. And I find this story so interesting because in the middle of his natural, normal, everyday, ordinary stuff, he ends up encountering this woman who was desperate for him to show up and didn't even know it. Every time we walk in this room, I'm aware that there are people at every different level of your faith. Some of the horrors and tragedies that we hear about. Some of the stuff that as pastors we live and we carry and we cover you and we feel for you when you go through stuff. It's not a job to us. This is a calling. This is a lifestyle. We carry you in our hearts. I don't know if you know that. If you're weary, or you're broken, you got stuff going on, and you're comfortable enough to tell us and interact with us. And I think about some of the relationships that we've helped people walk through, financial situations, health stuff. We carry you in our hearts. Now, we have to give you to God because my arms are not strong enough to carry you. But that's the posture with which Jesus is sitting at this well. He's thirsty, and we don't even have to go into the fullness of the story, but some of you will know that this Samaritan woman, he asks her for a drink. The lady says, why are you asking me? I'm a Samaritan. We don't have any dealings or interactions with each other. And Jesus goes on and reminds her in verse, I'm going to jump down to it, team. Let's jump down to verse 10. It says, we got to go back. Let's go back to verse 7. It says, a woman of Samaria came down to draw water. And Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples, this is important, for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Why is that significant? Because your moment with God is between you and God and nobody else. Do you know why that was so significant? Because I believe, think of this, y'all. If the disciples had been there with Jesus, they would have been like, Jesus, don't talk to that lady. She's a harlot. She's been married 6 times. Jesus, what are you doing having a conversation with her? How many of you know sometimes when you're in a moment by yourself, it's the moment that God can get a hold of you? Your faith is your faith. Thank God for your parents and people who love you and those who've walked with you and prayed for you and covered you. But you got to understand that their stuff is not going to be sufficient for you personally. It's a personal relationship with God. I tell people all the time, I hate religion. You're like, aren't you a pastor? Yeah, I'm a pastor and I hate religion. I hate religion because religion is about rules and distance and rituals and all the stuff you got to do. And God bless you if that's what you come from. This is not me bagging on you. But let me just tell you, the truth of what Jesus was trying to get to was a relationship with this woman. Like a moment where they had this encounter. A space. So it says here that the disciples had gone to buy food and she was alone with the Savior. Verse 10, it says, and Jesus answered, if you knew, lady, if you only knew that I am him, I am that guy, I'm the dude. Verse 10, if you knew the generosity, that is that same word for fullness, remember, full measure, nothing lacking. If you knew the generosity of God and who I am, you'd be asking me for a drink. And here's the best part. We'll land here. And I would give you fresh, living water. And Jesus said, everyone who drinks this water, this natural water, is going to thirst again. But anyone who drinks the water that I give will never thirst, not ever. The water that I give will be an artesian spring within. Gushing fountains of endless life. The woman said, hey, give me that water. I want that stuff, Jesus. I'm coming here in the middle of the day. It's hot. There's all kinds of different stories as to people saying why this woman came at that hour of the day. Some people say, again, Jesus goes in and says her, she says, hey, bring me to your husband. And she says, I don't have a husband. Jesus says, you're telling the truth right here. No, you've got 5 husbands or 6 husbands, and a dude you're with right now is not your man. You know, he goes into the whole thing. And he breaks all that stuff down, and they have this whole back and forth conversation. But the beauty to me of this passage is simply this lady saying desperately, I've tried everything else. I've done it on my own. I've tried to be good enough, smart enough, strong enough. Consistent enough. I've gone through 5 different marriages. I've done all the stuff I know to do. And you're telling me I can have water? Then something clicks in her. She's like, oh, he ain't talking about natural stuff. He's talking about the very reason I came here. It's almost like there's a light bulb moment that happens in this woman's spirit that says, oh, he ain't talking about H2O. He's not talking about natural things. He's saying, this void that I've been feeling my entire life, whether it's being used by men, whether it's being ostracized. Some of you don't know, but I started to say this, but the passage is, she went in the middle of the daytime. Typically, they wouldn't go in the middle of the day because it was beaming hot. It was steaming hot. So the implication is that she's there because it's a time where someone who's been ostracized or looked down on would go and not have to have a ton of encounters with people. That's why they say she might have been there. And Jesus in this moment takes her mundane, ordinary car line pickup homeschool teaching, cubicle workspace, whatever it is you're doing, and he says, I'm going to encounter you, and I'm going to give you something that's going to cause you to never thirst again. Yeah. Living water. Life that's gushing out of you. Do you know that as a believer, one of the worst things you can do is be a misrepresentation of who God is to other people? I'm going to say that again. Do you know that one of the most damaging things you can do is be somebody who says, I'm okay with average. I've received Jesus. Oh, because I used to think that this passage was all about unbelievers, like people who didn't know God and were living in sin or whatever. This passage is talking about you as believers as well, and me. It's saying, listen, one of the worst things you can possibly do is be somebody who misrepresents God by not being consistent, by not being faithful, by not walking and carrying the power and the living water that just comes out of your being because of who you are. You don't have to put it on. You don't have to say a bunch. You don't have to shout it from the mountaintops. There's something about you that speaks of the miraculous power of God that's on your life. I believe it. I believe you walk in that. We walk in that grace and that glory. And Jesus says, I want to give this woman water that she's never going to have to thirst again. And in the interest of time, I got to jump down to the last verse. And it says here, verse 13, Jesus said, everyone who drinks this water will thirst again. Anyone who drinks water I give will never thirst again. The water I give will be a well speaking within, gushing fountains of endless life. The woman said, sir, give me this water that I may not have to come here again. The last verse is simply this, John chapter 4, verse 39, verse 42. And after this woman went through this whole process, she goes away, she drops her well or her buckets, and she runs into the city. And she goes out and she says, I need to tell every single person that I know that I have contact with, every person that I come across, what God did for me. What Jesus did to change my life. And the verse says, verse 39 to 42, many of the Samaritans from the village committed themselves to him because of the woman's witness. And he knew all the things that I ever did. He knows me inside and out. They asked him to stay on, so Jesus stayed for 2 more days. A lot more people entrusted their lives to him when they heard what he had to say. And they said to the woman, we're no longer taking things on your say-so. We've heard it for ourselves, and we know for sure that he, this guy who changed your life, must be the savior of the world because you were really lost. I'm out of time, but here's what I'm going to do. I know it. I know it. I know it. That there are people in this room who are stuck in your average. You're stuck. And it's okay. It's okay because you don't have to stay there. I know it. I know it like I know my name. That there are folks in this room who have come to whatever that brink is, that precipice, that place, that whatever that space is, and you feel like this is just my lot. I don't know how to change it. I don't know how to move it. I don't know what else to do about it. I'm here to tell you that we have a suddenly God. Oh, yeah. I feel him in this room. There's a suddenly God that can move things on your behalf. I've got places personally still I'm pressing into. There's some things in business and opportunities that I've been praying and asking and pushing and asking and praying and asking and sowing and pushing and asking and praying and asking and then sowing and then pushing and asking and then praying. And you getting the point? Yeah. I'm like, God, please show me. How are you? And I believe that as I continue to just show up, that somehow God can meet my average, everyday, ordinary with his miraculous working power. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Ah, I feel it in the room. Is it a job? A that you're believing for? Is it a loved one? Is it a restoration of a marriage or a relationship? Is it healing in your body? Is it an addiction that has held you? And you're just like, I just don't know how to break out of this thing. You know how many men I've prayed for that have been addicted to certain things? I've had so many times where I've sat across the table or desk and just been able to look you in the eye, and they just look like exasperated because they just don't know how I can get out of this habit. But suddenly God has miraculous power. He had to go through Samaria because the woman's faith beckoned him there. When you set your heart and you believe that God can do the impossible, there's nothing too big for him. You're going to end up in a stadium singing in front of 40,000 people? Probably not. But that's my story. You have your own. Brandon, play for me, please. Play the bridge. No, the chorus. I'm not enough. I'm not enough. There you go. Unless you come, come and meet me here again. 'Cause all I want is all you are. Would you meet us here today? Lift your hands all over the building and close your eyes and say, I'm not enough. Sing it, church. Unless you come, will you meet me here again? I believe he's here in this room right now. 'Cause all I want is all you are. Would you meet me here again? And not for a minute was I forsaken. Come on, team. The Lord is in this. Do you feel him right now? The Lord is in this. Ask him today. Say, come, Holy Spirit. Dry bones awaken. 'Cause
the Lord is in this place.
I feel him now. The Lord is in. Oh. Not for a minute was I forsaken. The Lord
is in this place.
I sense him in this room right now.
In this
yeah. So come, Holy
Spirit, dry bones awaken. The Lord is in this place.
Yes, he is.
The Lord is in this place.
Just stay right there. Thank you, Lord. Bow your heads and close your eyes. I'm going to pray for some of you because I know. If I'm speaking to you today, if it's you, if you're the one that's stuck in average, you're stuck in that moment, you can't see a way out, you've been against this wall, you're believing God for a breakthrough, whatever it looks like, job, relationship, money, food, health, whatever it is, I know I'm talking to somebody. Lift your hands up because I'm going to pray for you. I see you and 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 you. You think you just came to Florida to retire? There's more for you. You think you just finished the end? There's more for you. You think this is the end of the journey? There's more for you. There's a God of suddenly. So God, every hand that's lifted today, in the name of Jesus, I pray, God, that your suddenly would meet their ordinary, that your suddenly would overtake their average. I thank you, God, that you're a miraculous God. I thank you that there's no limitations in what you can and want to do in your people. Lord, I speak to the job scenarios. I speak to the businesses that need to be birthed in this moment. I speak to those who are dealing with addictions in the name of Jesus. And I ask you, God, to move, let the miraculous meet their ordinary in Jesus' name. Lord, I speak, God, to those who are hopeless in their souls for whatever it is, whatever mountain that seems bigger than your power. I ask you right now to show up suddenly as a miraculous God. Let lives be impacted because of your word. And just like the Samaritan woman, I thank you, God, that our faith draws you to where we are, and God will be changed because of your presence, your spirit, and your glory. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Last time, come on, give him praise. Give him praise. Give him praise if you got something.
Thanks for joining us at Now Church. For the latest updates, visit us at nowchurch.com, including live or on-demand video, event registration, online giving, and much more. And don't forget to follow Now Church on our social media platforms, including Facebook and Instagram. And please use the hashtag #NowChurch. Thank you.